B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mabb.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mabb.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Alex, you mentioned 162 and the wild card game and so much, and there seemed like there were other times where your season was going to end. What is it about this group that was able to stay alive, and how do you apply that coming up?
We learned a lot early in the season, right? In the first three games of the season, that it wasn't going to be easy. You just prepare and play the game, and then after that you prepare again for the next day, and you keep moving forward. Obviously here is a lot different because if we don't win the next game, the season is over. But like you said, we've been in this situation before, so nothing is going to change. In the next 24 hours we'll take a look at a few things. We learn from our mistakes and what they do in the last 2 days, and we'll be ready for the next one.
Final hour, Felger and Mass, and I would say the focus is on Alex Cora like it's never been before, or the bubble has burst on Cora like it never has before, or is maybe about to, or like that thing, somewhere in there, if you know what I'm talking about, Mass, where I think he was almost infallible up until this point.
Yeah, right.
People did not hold 2019 against him, and I think he was partly responsible for that with the way he approached that season. Way too overconfident, but it didn't stick to him. The cheating stuff and having to sit out a year didn't stick to him. So I think up until this point, nothing has really stuck to him. There's been no real spotlight or, hyper scrutiny on him until now, until last night and Sale and that decision, which he bollocksed. Ken Rosenthal wrote about it in The Athletic. He said, for the better part of the 2018 and 21 postseasons, Alex Cora could do no wrong. He was aggressive. He was creative. He always seemed to gain the upper hand. But the game humbles even its best minds. And the past two nights, as if to remind us that the baseball gods will tolerate only so much success, the Cora mystique has taken a hit. And then he mentions game four. Cora went to Nathan Eovaldi to pitch the ninth inning with the score tied 2-2. The move backfired. And now with the Sox facing elimination, Eovaldi might be compromised for his start in game six. The way the Dodgers, Max Scherzer and Julio Urias were in the NLCS under the same circumstances. Starts that followed late inning relief appearances on 2 days rest. But the move to Eovaldi, at least, he says, was in character for a manager who routinely uses starters as relievers in the postseason. Cora's questionable decision in Game 5, however, sticking with Sale, not just for the third time through the Astros' order, but one last confrontation with Yordan Alvarez, that was something else entirely. He says that what made that so unusual is that Cora almost always this season was never too slow to pull a starter. Just the previous night, he removed Nick Pivetta with a 2-run lead after 5 innings and 65 pitches. During the regular season, Cora yanked Pivetta from a no-hitter after 6 2/3 and 100 pitches. He yanked Tanner Houck from a perfect game after just 53 pitches. Sale, coming off of Tommy John surgery, was not in all that different of a spot. Since his return on August 14th, he had pitched into the sixth inning only 3 times in 11 starts, including the postseason. So, I feel like the bubble has burst on Cora, or is about to. If he pulls out of this and he wins the series, we're right back to where we were. But I feel like he's got more pressure on him now than he may have ever have had. And this opinion about Eovaldi, if he goes out and doesn't pitch well,
it's a good point.
It is true. We second guessers, just with the nature of this thing, we're going to look back and say, oh, not only did you not get what you needed from him in game four, but he killed you in game six because of it. And we'll conflate the two.
Oh, definitely. Look, again, if you were to look at Cora's career with the Red Sox and you wanted to say, okay, I got to identify a single game here where he made a decision that really came back to hurt them, this is it. It's this one. Again, he made one in the World Series with Eduardo Rodriguez back in 2018, but they came back, won the series, everybody forgot about it. So it just disappears, and that's it, gone forever, and nobody puts any emphasis on it. Although even Cora did at that particular time, he left him in the game too long. So in this case, you know, it could cost him the series or one of them anyway. And the last couple of nights have been tough.
So, and especially pitching to Alvarez again with first base open. Now, Cora said last night, left on left. You know, what do you want? But as Rosenthal points out, Alvarez is a different kind of left-handed hitter. His 580 slugging percentage, Maz, against lefties. His 580 slugging percentage against lefties since entering the league in 2019 is the best left-on-left mark in the majors.
Yeah, that's a big number for left-on-left. It is. That's a big number. Because most of those numbers are in the threes.
So by some metrics, he's the best left-handed hitter against left-handed pitching in Major League Baseball. So the left-on-left thing in that particular matchup is not what Cora is presenting there. It's a little bit different, a lot different.
Totally. Look, and a guy like that, that is a I didn't know that stat either until I read it by Rosenthal this morning. That'll give you an indication as to how good a hitter a guy is, by the way, that left-on-left number. And it's not necessarily just the slugging, but if you get a lefty that can hit lefties, you probably have one of the elite hitters in the game.
Do you mean to tell me, though, no one in that operation knew that about him?
No, they
No, I think they knew it. I think they ignored it.
Oh, no, not they. He.
He?
Yeah,
he.
Right. Exactly. He.
I'm telling you, Murray, there are nerds
he
up there.
He went that rogue, you think?
Oh,
huh?
Yeah, I do. Wow.
There are clones up on the second floor at Fenway Park right now who are, I'm sorry to use the same joke again, popping zits and sniffing their fingers because nerds don't know how to deal with, like, you challenge a nerd or, you like, they get, they just.
They get very anxious. Yeah,
they put their hands in their armpits and sniff it. They get all verklempt. They don't know what to do. There are nerds up there at Fenway Park right now who are steaming, and they don't know how to. They're not equipped to handle it, so they like scratch their butt and sniff their finger and do gross things. And so this is what's going on there at Fenway Park because third time through, I mean, we all know that one.
I mean, that's the one he really deserves to get ripped for. You ride the high of Sale. Like, I get it, being like caught up in that emotion of that and how Sale looked, but I don't know. You give that dude first base, or that's when you pull Sale. You don't pitch to that guy.
You pull Sale. To me, if you want to send him out for the sixth and see if he can repeat what he did in the fifth, 1-2-3, I understand. The walk to Altuve was not competitive. And the ball was flying. It was kind of flying out. Ball four was way outside. It was like, okay, that's that. And Cora didn't even have anyone warming.
I mean, I'd go so far as to tell you, just looking at it here, Alvarez was actually better against lefties than righties this year. It's close. Okay, it's close. His OPS was 881, 874, right? So you're talking 7 points.
So the left-on-left thing doesn't really apply there.
Not to this guy. Not to this guy.
It doesn't. And so first base is open. And, well, I just think it's the one time. It's the first. I think the first time the Cora mystique has been punctured by the general populace. Again, I think some people held 2019 against him or his part of it, which I do. And he's made mistakes in the past. And the cheating thing, some people, you know. But I don't think anything stuck to him like this. As Rosenthal writes, it's baseball. Sometimes even a manager's best choices go awry. Sometimes poor choices escape scrutiny because the outcomes are good. It's just that for Cora, every move always seems to work out. Every decision seems to reflect his superior baseball instincts. But over the last two nights, he finally became mortal, joining the rest of his beleaguered second-guest brethren. Some kind-hearted member of the managerial fraternity should send him a text. Welcome to the club. So there you go. It's the first time he's really been punctured.
Yeah, and he's right. Look, they all end up there one way or another, even the great ones. They all screw something up somewhere along the way. But that thing with Sale last night, I told you, I was surprised when he brought him out for the sixth. I was surprised. I didn't think he was going
to
do it.
Okay, back to your phones. There's a Red Sox reset for you. How about Bob on Chestnut Hill? Hi, Bob.
Hey, good afternoon. You know, there's another mistake that Cora made the night before that nobody's talking about, and that was Ottavino came in to relieve, got a one batter, looked great. I was at the ball game, and didn't let him pitch the next inning. Instead, he brought Garrett Whitlock in the seventh.
Yep.
If you let Ottavino go the seventh, then you have Whitlock to the eighth and ninth.
Yeah, Bob. So Maz did mention this yesterday.
Yeah, so it's the one thing I think, and I think this even factored into last night, that if you're only going to let your starter go two trips through the lineup and Whitlock's going to pitch on the back end, how do you fill that hole in the middle? Where do you go? And, you know, you have Tanner Houck, Nick Pivetta, but those guys typically get saved for nights where you have a starter who's only going to go a couple, or you have an opener, so you still got to fill those middle innings. And I think Cora grinds to figure that out. So it's, you know, And I think that that led to him bringing Sale back out for the sixth last night. You know, the night before, he puts Ottavino, but only for a batter. So as the caller said, you know, he didn't want to squeeze more out of Ottavino. And look, part of the reason with Ottavino that they are scared is anybody who gets on, it becomes a double. You can run on him. It's like automatic. He gave up 22 steals. I told you this yesterday. That's
amazing.
In 67 right. innings. 67 innings, 22 steals. It's like automatic. You get on, you're going. Everybody runs on that guy. So they have a hole there in the middle, and I think because of that, he stretched Sale last night.
Tony in Weymouth, go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, guys. Two things I want to comment on, right? First, offense and then defense, right? First of all, on offense, right, I feel like that Xander Bogaerts, right, okay, I really want a lot more out of him. He needs to lead this team. If you notice, right, Xander Bogaerts lets so many beautiful pitches go over the plate looking. I don't know what he's looking at, but he's not focused. And he needs to lead this team. Defensively, I want to say this outfield defensively is scary. I mean, compared to the 2018 team, I mean, every time a ball gets hit out in that outfield, gosh, you're holding your breath like, oh, please catch it. Please. I mean, honestly, this.
Okay, Tom, you're just going to stop you and ask your thoughts on both.
Okay, so look, on Bogaerts, I would like to see him be more aggressive in certain spots, too. It's just not who he is. He's one of those guys that likes to wait. Let the pitcher get ahead in the count, or let the pitcher prove he can get ahead in the count. But I would say overall that Bogaerts has got to alter his routine from time to time to keep pitchers more honest. He doesn't do that. Now, he's a good two-strike hitter. Just keep that in mind. What was the other thing? Oh, the outfield defense.
Outfield defense.
Wretched. Wretched, especially in right field. The only outfielder they have that I have faith in is Hernandez. That's it. And this is why they can't play Hernandez in second base. You need him in center. Because when Hernandez is not out there, their outfield defense is horrid. Horrid. Even Verdugo was fine in left. It works because you got Hernandez in center. But if you move Verdugo to center, he's not good out there either.
Back to your thoughts right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
Ooh, isn't the show so great when you're not there, Felger? Yeah, I got a ton of those. I sent those.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Thoughts on, you know, trying to overcome this 3-2 deficit with 2 games coming up on the road?
I mean, you take it one day at a time, of course, you know, cliche-wise. We got to win the next game. And it's not the first time we've been in this situation that it's a must-win. You know, we did it in 162. We did it in a wild card game. Instead of see that there's two games, let's take care of game one. And, you know, we've done it before. You take care of that one, and then you move forward to the next one. So we'll be ready for the next one. We'll be ready. We'll make adjustments. And, you know, we'll play better.
Cora keeps talking about the adjustments. The adjustments he's going to make. The adjustments the Astros have made. And I just wonder, in the past, when he's talked like that, he's talking about the tricks of the trade, if you will, if not outright sign stealing and things like this. And I just wonder if these are allusions to what the Astros have done and what the Sox need to counter and all of this, the cat and mouse game that goes on with pitch tipping, which there's a fine line between having a pitch tipped and a sign stolen. Like, that is a fine line, right? He's tipping his pitches. Well, we figured something out with the catcher. Well, are you just discerning something through scouting, or is it a tipping, or are you stealing the sign and then relaying it illegally? Mass happens to think the whistling thing could have some merit. But I say this in the same breath. Is it also legal? In other words, if they're not using video, they're just picking something up and alerting the batter, is that even illegal? And the answer is no, right?
No, it's not illegal, no.
So, somewhere in there, I think there is something at play there this series. I do. And in most every baseball game, and I think a lot of this stuff is not with the analytics and the nerd crowd, I think it's gotten maybe even worse in some respects. I mean, the whole spider tack thing was nerd generated.
Absolutely.
Because nerds determined that spin rate was a huge factor in pitchers' success. So teams started paying for spin rate. And so pitchers started loading up on the spider tack stuff to increase their spin rate to make more money. It started with the analytics. So I think the analytics have not made it better. It's made it worse.
Yeah, look, and when you say, you know, could the nerds have contributed to the cheating? Think about it. The spin rate led to what? Lower batting averages. And so now, well, we can't hit. They're not making it fair for us. So what are we going to do? We're going to cheat and steal the signs because we have to know that it's coming or we can't hit it.
And as Mike has pointed out, too, before, the look of where all these nerds come from, these dirty banks they've worked for and the background.
Wall Street,
have,
the right? Wall Street guys.
Yeah.
How do you think Wall Street's Wall Street?
Always looking for an edge.
One big Ponzi scheme. It's one big cheat.
Yeah, baseball's like the Big Short.
So, again, I said it before. I just, you know, because I'm a throat clearer. I will, you know me, if you've listened to this program over the years, you know I've had well-timed coughs for here or there to imply something that I don't want to say because I don't want to get in trouble. Exactly. It's like, you know, he's made a big jump between year one and year two. Seems like he's really gotten in shape. Do it all the time. So when Alex Cora was asked about what's the difference been for Houston the last couple of games, and he said this.
They made some adjustments.
I can't help but think, like, you know, what would I do in that situation? I would say, yeah, they've really figured something out.
So, they made some adjustments.
And I know he was sucking on a sucker or something, but I choose to believe he was telling us something subliminally in Felger and Maz fashion. All right, back to your phones. Tom and Quincy, what do you got, Tom?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, yesterday I had to listen to all the talk about how they blew the game with one pitch. Today I have to listen to how they can't win because the Astros have a whistleblower. All right? Listen, even if they do have a whistleblower in the little gets them hits, fine. You know what it doesn't do? Doesn't make Schwarber pull his foot off the bag early. Doesn't make Hunter Renfro run the most awkward half a mile route to a fly ball. And it sure as hell doesn't make the Red Sox go 0-13 in the last two games that runners can score a position. So if they are doing the old, like they think they are, so be it. I'm sure every other team in Major League Baseball that's in the playoffs right now has some trick of the trade shenanigan going on. I simply need the Red Sox to score runs when they have men on base so we can move this thing along and get past this. I'm sick of it already.
What a great call.
Excellent call.
I could listen to him say whistleblower all day long.
Whistleblower.
That's how it's got to sound. Murray, I think that pretty much sums up your feelings on this.
Yeah, we're going to replay it in the final word how I feel about this. So, but yeah, if you missed it earlier, catch it then in about 20 minutes.
Fine. 20 minutes of Murray's thoughts on what this has become in Boston here, the whole whistleblowing thing. We did a bunch of Celtics talk earlier. There's people online who wanted to weigh in on that. Dave in L.A. Go ahead, Dave.
Hi, guys. Yeah, Mike, you touched on it when you said the word ragtag about the Celtics. That game was unwatchable. And when Tatum is taking 15 threes and hitting two of them, he's got to change up. He was only 5-for-15 on his other shots. And I think if he would stop worrying about when he's going to be regarded as in the top five in the league, maybe he'd get his head screwed on straight. This is his fifth year, so I don't know how long we have to wait for that to happen.
Okay, Dave, thanks for the call, and good job. Put him on notice. A lot of it is expected of this guy. It's at what point do you stop saying, he's just a young kid? You know, fifth year? I mean, you're kind of getting there. And he was 7-of-30 on the night, 5 free throw attempts.
Go to the basket. You put on all that muscle for a reason. So I thought. That's what's so frustrating to watch.
But to say unwatchable, I don't agree with you there.
Did you watch it? It was awesome.
Tremendous game. Sage in Rhode Island, go.
Hey, I disagree. I actually think that the Celtics have a chance at locking up the number two seed in the East, and this is why. This is really the first year that it's truly Tatum, Brown, and Smart's team without, a veteran that they're kind of, under the umbrella of or in the shadow of. And, the combination of the roster changes they made in the offseason, they have such a weird mix of personalities that I think kind of balance each other out. And I think that their career arcs, you know, Horford is like, you know, he's Sage. Sort of a coach player. Yeah, Sage, yeah.
Two seed behind who?
The Bucks.
Okay, so you... So you don't like Brooklyn?
No, apparently he thinks they're better than Brooklyn.
Okay.
Like, the East should be controlled by the Nets and Bucks. Everything else is kind of a crapshoot. You want to make a case for three? Fine.
Yes.
I mean, let's forget about Atlanta and the fact they took two games from Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Final last year. But if you want, fine.
Look, there's one thing. Like, the Nets for sure, and the Bucks maybe because they did it last year. Those teams could load manage their way into a worse record than they should.
Right, and still win the championship.
Right, so, I mean, if we want to talk about what your regular season seed is, do you nip the Nets? Because, like, the Nets gave up opening night. The Nets didn't even play to win opening night. They played Durant and Harden, but they go on this run in the fourth quarter. There's 4 minutes left. I think they're down, like, 12 or 10 or something like that, and Nash yanked their guys out because they were at their minute limit, or where they were like, all right, whatever, take it. And they didn't even try and win the game. And the Nets, I feel like, have that thing going on all the time. Never mind Kyrie Irving. So maybe there's a slip in there. And the Bucks held Giannis out for, I don't know how many games he missed last year that he could have played, and they just hold him out. So if those two teams screw around like that and you overachieve, maybe. But all things being equal, come on. It's those two teams.
Yeah, I think people look past Miami. I think Miami could be good.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Kyle Lowry's down there now. That could be a good team.
And maybe the second best player in the conference might be Trae Young. Okay, so, like, don't sleep on them either.
No,
so
no.
You're in that mix of teams. Josh in the car, go.
Hey, guys. So before you crush me for this this commentary, I just want you to think about it logically. We were at the game last night, my brother and I. Unbelievable game. We're sitting right behind the Celtics bench. I think the problem is with the Celtics team moving forward, you got to trade Jason Tatum, and I'm going to tell you why. He just doesn't care. He is Carmelo 2.0. He wants his stats. He wants his accolades. He wants this whole Mamba mentality thing where it's him against the world. And you know what? Like last night, there were three different occasions where the Knicks went on a run. They called timeout. Tatum sits three seats over from everybody else. Jaylen Brown and Smart are yelling, weather the storm, weather the storm. They're trying to kind of give everybody's heads up. And Tatum's just in his own world. Another timeout. Smart's on the bench. Tatum's two seats away. He looks over to him. He's like, listen, he, just like this. He goes, keep your head up. He goes, keep shooting. Tatum's just looking down at the floor, not caring. And then as Jaylen Brown is picking him up the whole game, because, look, he had some wide-open shots. He just was missing a lot of threes. But Jaylen Brown's picking him up the whole game. And what is he doing? You'd think he would be ecstatic? No, not at all. He's just sitting there. He's sulking. The body language was terrible, and
I'll
just say this.
We've had enough. Why would we dump on you? That was an excellent negative take. It's like right up our alley. And I'm only being half sarcastic. I think Tatum's makeup is a huge question mark. 100%. He's got the talent and the physical, his physical ability is there to be a top three player in the league and a number one dog on a championship player.
What's on
a championship team.
What's your gut tell you? Is he more interested in winning a championship or getting his face on another bag of Lay's potato chips?
The second thing, yeah. But I think a lot of guys in that league suffer from that.
Yes.
A lot. He's not the only one. But no, the impediment to this thing going through is Tatum's head and heart and that thing. I think that's totally valid.
Top of the list. Yeah, it's top of the list. Again, where's this going? What kind of player does he want to be? You know, and this is where I hope that Udoka can get through to him. I mean, we held Stevens accountable for a lot of this. That Stevens wasn't getting through to him. This is now Udoka's job. And also, I would say this is also a reason why I think he needs Jaylen Brown around in some way, shape, or form. Because Brown will do the things off the floor that Tatum doesn't want to do. So they need to play off each other in that way. Now, do they complement each other on the floor? I don't know. I mean, we're going to see. But Tatum needs Brown in some way, shape, or form. Otherwise, forget it.
One final segment of your wonderful phone calls and emails. Couple open lines if you want to grab them at 617-779-0985. Update first.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Alex, what do you see, if anything, to address over the last, that you saw in the last 2 days? I mean, good pitching, they can't do much about it, right?
They made some adjustments. They talk about it too, right? So, there's a few things they're doing that they didn't do in the first three games. And we just got to be ready, you know. And one of the things that we do, you know, we learn a lot from what happened in the past, right? And, this is a series that teams make adjustments. We have to make adjustments against them too, pitching-wise. But I think offensively, there's a few things that they've done the last probably 2.5 games that, we got beat in certain situations, and we got to be ready for that.
So I don't think this thing is over. As Alex Cora said, I think there's every chance that the Red Sox go to Houston and make some adjustments to their approach, just as Houston made some adjustments to their approach. I mean, I'm only half joking. I think it's going on.
Of course it's going on. Absolutely it's going on. So I just...
It's too perfect, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's great.
For us especially?
It's absolutely hysterical. So, again, I just, the clearing of the throat thing gets me every time. I don't know why I laugh so much.
They made some adjustments.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you laugh because you know that there could be shenanigans going on. He could be doing that a la, Mike Felger. Like, oh, no, you got to get on the program.
I mean, remember, they were joined in that thing. They were Cora and the players, so they all know what the other one's doing. They all know. So there's something, and look, in this case, it might not be illegal. It might be as simple as sign stealing and the kinds of things that they talked about to get an edge during games. All of it, it's all there.
I mean, again, here, play the Alvarez home run, Stu. And again, if you listen to the clip, it's the whistle comes at the very beginning of it. But go ahead.
But just 9 pitches in the first inning, and Yordan.
There it was. Here, hit it again.
But just 9.
There it is.
But just 9 pitch.
That's so faint.
Okay, what was the other one, Stu? This was before what? His single?
This was before the double that Sale shouldn't have been pitching to him. He should have been intentionally walked or not pitched to him.
Got it.
After the ground out.
Now that one.
Yeah, what do you think, Murray?
Yeah, that one sounds like there could be.
After the ground out.
That one's pretty noticeable.
After the ground.
It's definitely there. I mean, you hear a lot of them.
So people said it was the hot dog guy in the stands? And did they whistle? Hot dog, they whistle?
Yeah, some do.
They whistle?
Each one has their own individual little bit of flair to try to bump up those sales.
Oh, yeah, no, did they whistle every time the Astros were back?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. They whistle when the fastball's coming.
I would call this information from a league source.
Love it, Jimmy, go.
Supposedly, through the first 6 innings, there were 66 fastballs, of which there were 64 whistles prior to them being thrown.
I love this. So I'm not outing anyone's sourcing or anything, but if the Red Sox were saying that, I could feel that. 66 fastballs, 64 whistles.
Yeah.
So I think
telling you, that's one of the oldest ones going too, is that whistle. That one's been around forever. Like, I remember the Red Sox bitching about that all the time against Cleveland. They would say someone's whistling in the dugout. They know something. Well, they're stealing signs.
They used to think that the guy with the drum was stealing signs out there, just like they used to think that Bernie effing Brewer up in the chateau there at Old County Stadium was stealing signs too, with binoculars and everything. There's all like...
I bet the Red Sox have a guy in center field who sends a text message that buzzes Alex Cora's Apple Watch.
Well, this is what they used to do. So they're all doing something, and as Matt said, they all know. We know what you know, and we know that you know that I know.
Let's see who can cheat the best. That's how we're going to decide games now, is who cheats the best.
I know it is.
Yay, fun.
It is annoying.
At baseball, but it's just so ingrained in baseball. Some of the biggest plays in the history of the sport, the Bobby Thompson home run. There was a light, on, off, or fastball or not. So it's like, it's really nothing new. And even with the spotlight on these teams and, their prior history, my bet is they're blowing right through the stop signs and blowing through whatever, faint major league scrutiny that they've gotten, which is probably none. And they probably know, they probably got into the series and said, well, there's no one really checking this stuff. They called the dogs off, so let's just go. Let's just do what we do.
Well, it's because the last thing baseball wants is some sort of scandal in this thing. Like, let's just say, you know, they asked me this morning on the morning show. Let's say the Astros got caught. Okay, let's say they were doing something, got caught.
MLB buries it.
Okay, so that's what I said.
Yeah.
I said MLB wouldn't let it come out. But let's say it did. What's the penalty? And at this stage, given how much attention it's gotten, don't you almost have to kick them out of the playoffs? Like, what? And I'm not saying that that's realistic. Yeah. I'm just saying that what else can you do? What, are you going to fine them? What's that going to do? You're going to fire the manager again or the GM? What's that going to do? There's just, it would be such an egregious offense. That's exactly what I said the same thing. We'd never find out about it. They'd bury it. They would absolutely bury it because there would
they
be.
They buried the Red Sox thing because the Red Sox thing went second to the Astros. And they, if they really spill the beans on the Red Sox and what they were doing, then it's a scandal. Then it's sort of like the Tim Donaghy thing in the NBA. He has to be a rogue ref because if there's multiple refs involved, then the league has a real problem. It's not just one guy. If the Astros are the only team doing it, then they're one bad apple doesn't spoil the bunch and the rest of the game is fine. If there's multiple teams doing it. So it's really that second one that they have to protect. I think the Sox got kind of protected in their investigation. And if it happened again, I don't think they'd want it out.
Yeah, no, they'd bury it. They'd absolutely bury it. Because otherwise, you know, what you're talking about is an epidemic, in which case your sport becomes the WWE. All due respect, Jimmy. Like, you know, it becomes a complete farce. The whole thing is contrived. It's made up. It's cheating. It's nothing more than just some Hollywood drama playing out on a baseball field. It's a complete lie.
So I think we've angered some nerds today. Let's do the email today, shall we? There,
yeah,
Stu,
I mean,
please?
Yeah.
Let's do this.
It's the Moncast Email of the Day!
Felga, I'm smelling my armpits.
Dear Felga, I really hate you.
And I'm eating my boogers.
And I think Mez is a boo.
The Moncast Email of the Day! Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
Email of the Day is protected by Mimecast, M-I-M-E, Mimecast. Safeguard your organization against phishing, business email compromise, and risks of ransomware. Visit Mimecast.com. Nerds, I'm sure you've got your own stuff as well, but if your internet is a little leaky, check in with my friends at Mimecast. They'll tighten that right up for you. I tell you, there's nothing, the angry nerd, I mean, this is why this does go not to cross streams or sports, but, you know, the ideal gas law, one of the big things, there was such a support of the Patriots in the scientific communities because if you didn't fully buy into the ideal gas law and everything, you challenged the nerds, the scientists' theorems.
Trust the science.
Right, exactly. So it's like an angry nerd, they don't know quite how to handle it. Shut up, you whiny, complaining little troll. Who are you kidding? You're a geek and a nerd, too. And suck up. It's how baseball's run right now. And like you said, it works. Signed, TFG.
Was that Milliken? under a pseudonym?
You guys are so pathetic, right, Scam? You've been bitching all year about how quick they change pitchers, and then Sale is dealing and brings them back, and you guys complain about it. You can't have it both ways. Make up your mind. Make up your mind, Maz. I disagree. And oh, by the way, Gam, my job is not to be consistent, right? So... But if you find this inconsistent, you don't necessarily need to. And I've referenced the analytics all day about the third time through. It really wasn't an analytic decision. It's Sale's he's coming off of Tommy John.
Right.
He hasn't gone deep into games hardly at all since he's come back. You got more than you could have expected out of him through four or five innings. It was time to, you know, take your winnings and leave the table. No one to hold them, no one to fold them, which is not a nerd analytic thing. That is a instinct thing, and Cora's instincts were wrong on this one. Period. Story over.
Yeah. So again, right? It was a decision against analytics. Did you say that guy's name was TFG?
Well, he had some sort of a fake email account, and I just sort of picked part of his fake email account.
Okay, TFG, yeah. The F and Geek, is that what that is?
Oh, maybe. TFG 1978 at blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to give out his whole website. So I said TFG, you're right. The F and Geek.
Oh, yeah, no. He's a member of the Geek Squad. Okay. That's what it is. The Geek Squad's out there.
Mass, how did your dual, what do we call it? The alternate broadcast goal last night?
The Mazcast. Yeah, Murray, what did you think of the Mazcast last night? I thought we had an enjoyable experience.
We did. It had a chastity belt on it, though. You know, there was only so much we could really say in real time.
You weren't allowed to react to the game in real time?
Well, we did. We get handcuffed a little bit, right? You know, no pocket pool for that one.
Really, like broadcast rights, that sort of thing?
Yeah, we get tightened up a little bit, yeah.
And that's because of the nerds on Twitter, who I immediately saw when Maz first said, like, hey, join us for the Mazcast tonight. And I saw people tweeting, hey, at Red Sox, do they have the broadcast rights and the written consent for Major League Baseball? Like, oh, you... Everyone is just the worst. You're all the worst.
Murray's right. There were people tweeting out the Red Sox handle, asking the question, you know, pointing us out, trying to get us into trouble, those effing geeks. Seriously, more members of the Geek Squad.
Wow. That's a disgrace.
That is. That's shame. Like, let me rat you out. That's what it is. Let me rat you out.
And while we're grabbing ass.
So Murray and I had to rein it in a little.
Quickly, Mike, did you see the Milwaukee Bucks championship ring, and did you like it?
Yes and yes.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet, right?
Tears in my eyes. Absolutely. Okay. That's enough for the grab ass. The baseball hour. There was all to set up the baseball hour at 6. The final word comes your way next.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody, Jim.
Nobody.
Nobody. Nope.
All right, well, Whistlegate, it's not even 24 hours old, and I've already had it. So when a caller also checked in, let me have it, because I've had it. So if you missed this earlier, here you go. Do you have that much time to react? Because in watching some of these videos, it's like 0.2 seconds. And why wasn't anyone mentioning the whistling the first four games of this series?
I agree, Murray.
Why is it a problem now? We know why it's a problem now, because people are losing their minds and they're panicking because they don't know how to deal with the Red Sox imploding over the last couple of games, and they need a boogeyman to blame. You people are better than this. It's time for an intervention, for real. The whining, the crying about officiating and the other teams cheating, it's embarrassing. It's beneath the level of what I thought was a smart, intelligent, proud sports region. Is this Jacksonville, Sacramento? Get over the persecution complex, you children. And need I remind you, you have no moral high ground. All these teams cheat. They all cheat.
Including you.
Right. Right. Like, I couldn't. I found myself swearing, with all due respect to Touch and Rich, I was swearing at my radio this morning.
Well, so
for me, consider this story ignored. I don't want to hear it.
Well, this is your compadre here who helped fuel, who fanned the flames.
Oh, and then, here. I had an appointment. I get in my car. I'm like, Maz, come on. You know, well, yeah, no, they could be doing it. Yeah, they could. I'm like, oh, Maz.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, put out the fire.
I'm sorry.
Tony Maz, a.k.a. the gas can.
I don't want to hear any more of this. I really don't.
Oh, you're going to hear more of it. Gary in Florida, give him more of it. Gary, speaking to the mic. Hold it like a pizza. Go.
Yeah.
Got you, man. Hey, first of all, I have no issue with what's happening right now with the Sox because it's just a game. That said, Murray's a pompous, annoying idiot, okay? His little tirade just irked me. I'm all the way down in Florida, and I'd like to drive to Florida and give him a piece of my mind.
You're already in Florida,
but anyway,
you said.
There's nothing worse than a fence sitter with a platform, buddy, and you know it, you know? Maz has forgotten more about baseball than you'll ever know, so why don't you just stay out of all this, okay?
Should I just tell you go Astros then?
Yeah,
do you want me to pick a side? Go Houston. They're better cheaters than you.
It's gotten out of control out there, Murray.
That guy was great.
This is only the first day. It's probably going to get worse. I mean, if there's whistles tomorrow night, oh, God, forget it.
And it is going to get worse.
That's on the road. What about at home when they got every nook and cranny on their side?
Oh, yeah. No, they're going to have those little micro cameras all over the place. Those little, like, at the end of a wire.
Yeah, like a... colonoscopy.
Yeah, Mike. Exactly. Yeah,
snake Mike.
Why is Dusty wearing the Fitbit? What's going on there?
Oh, yeah. No, the Red Sox are going to have to do a clean sweep at their hotel.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.